to tell you a testimony about a church. There was a church in 2017 that was in two places. Neither of them, well, both of them were temporary venues. And we were gathered as a group of people in two venues, and we were coming to the end of leases and timelines for those venues, and we had nowhere to go. And with months, I mean, maybe weeks left, a phone call from a guy who'd promised us 10 years before, "Ben, I just feel like there'll be a venue that comes up. It'll be weird, but you know, the venue will be weird. And the moment will be weird, but God will provide." And after that phone call, we came and saw this building. And in 2017, we started to move and stir. And people who were in two places, in temporary venues, had to have faith. And faith not just, you know, hey, we're going to go and do this and run at a wall. But they'd seen stuff before. They'd known stuff before. They'd known what faith is. They'd known what folly was. They'd known what foolishness is. And so they had made a decision to trust God over the circumstance. And we came to this place. What we found was a relatively broken down, desolate, in pieces, needing repair, restoration building. But it wasn't like unlike that church. There was needing some restitution, some respite, some relief, and some rebuilding. And so over those years, the next 7 years, God worked in that church to deliver not only the physical reality of a rebuild that makes it unrecognizable to the day that we walked in, when there was orange walls and petitions and squash courts and Tassie oak on the floor that was very, very difficult to remove, and all of the things that needed to be refoundationed and recalibrated. Not only that, but there was a people of God who were needing the absolute installation of the God reality of his gospel, who at that time didn't get distracted by the build that was happening post-COVID, and they didn't get distracted by COVID. In fact, God provided a building for them in COVID, even if it was a little rough and ready. And they had the audacity to build during that time. Faith to respond. So that in 2025, you not only look upon the finishing touches and the finished product that so many lives have poured into support-wise and energy-wise, and you know, thousands of liters of paint that Cliff and the team are completely and intimately acquainted with, but the reality of a people who now sit in this room, consolidated, established, reset by God around things that did not distract them, a Christ-centered focus, the peace of God that we found in prayer, the hope of the word, the truth that came back. When people are in many churches across the West not even referring to the Bible anymore, the reality is this church said, we will come back to the reality and the standard of what God is saying. We'll have joy in the Spirit, a love for his mission. Spirit empowered, that the belief, the conviction, the belonging, the build was all necessary. Not just one thing, but all things. To have courage beyond ourselves. A gospel advance towards others. Strange things started happening while we started to engage the community here where we were at, as they walked upstairs and asked what we were doing with their building. Wanted to know. Whereas as people started to receive food and supplies and things that this community was responding to, they started to hear the heart of God and the reality of what God was reflecting in his people. There was also something else happening at the ends of the earth, as we started to re-engage relationships across the world in a meaningful and a real way. The gospel reality is that it goes from the depths of our heart to the ends of the earth. And as we started to engage with the movement of advance and really understand what it is to partner again, afresh and anew, with churches like us in so many contexts around the world, as that was growing, we were growing. We had this sense we were growing deeper here in the local sense and understanding what is our responsibility in this place. But we're also growing with the responsibility of we are part of many, and we are responsible with them for the glory that is coming across the earth in the power of the gospel. But in between is what Daniel Yu determined knows is called no man's land. A place where culture sits. A place that it's easier sometimes to dig right where you are, and sometimes to go right to the end of the earth and be yourself. So you can be yourself among the family, and you can be yourself when you're on the other side of the planet. People are always engaging Aussie tourists and saying, man, they're so free and happy and joyful. I'm like, you should see them at home. You're happy? Yeah, absolutely. Just, I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about in your workplace and everything else you're engaging, you know? The reality is that God did something in us that was starting to deliver a ready, willing, generous, joyful response. God, wherever you call me to, here or there, I'll go. And today, God has a people set, established, consolidated in his Christ-centered reality, spirit-empowered reality, gospel-advancing willingness. So as I was praying for today, I'm like, what would you say to a people who've been through that? You know, as you get a little older, you don't ask what's next. You're just like, God, just be gentle. Because he's already asked, and there's already been a lot of response. What would you ask of people that you have established and consolidated, who are already making a mark where they are in their city, who are already seeing something at the end of the God? And it felt like God was saying to us, and he's been drawing us, and Daniel, you probably coined it best when he said, take no man's land. The place where culture just holds without any challenge. We can stay in the places that we're comfortable, or we can engage the reality of where people are lost, where they're stuck, and where they do not know the light of his word. But over months, different words have been coming, and as an eldership, we've sat and listened and heard and responded, but so many things it seemed God wanted to do. To the point where I just go and say, God, give me one word. I just need it simple. I'm a pretty simple person. Just give me one word. What do you always do? Because I'm always looking to, I'm not thinking where's more special than anybody else. What has God always been saying to his church? And what would you do in this moment? What are you saying to us as a church that would catalyze us ready for the next year? I'm saying, God, I'm not even asking what we're preparing for. Just help me with what we're preparing with. And it came so quickly that you try to push it off. And it didn't even sound that impressive to me. And I don't expect it would sound impressive to you. But I want to warn you about this word. It just gets in. And you can't stop it. You can't stop thinking about it. It's going to get applied to everything. Once you see a yellow car, you cannot stop seeing yellow cars. I'm wanting to warn you, okay? If you need to leave now, you need to leave, okay? Because it will invade your consciousness, your dreams, your insights, everything that you have. Even if you think it's a bad thing, it's going to hit it. Are you okay with this? Everybody okay to proceed? Increase. So you're not very impressive, eh? Oh man, I know what this is going to do. As I sat with God and he just said, increase. Not for me to do it, that he would do it. That he would do it. You see, when I've got control of it, I'm good with this, right? I can control the amount of increase. I can control the flow. I've got the tap. But when it's God, you know, it's a different reality. When God says, I will come and I will increase in you what I want to increase. I will do in you what I want to do. And I want to tell you today, he can increase lots of things. We can pray for lots of things he can increase out from us. But I tell you today, he's going to start with us. Today is not about us increasing, but God increasing us in his attributes. I started to look at what is increase? And the two words, growth and multiplication. A lot of people talk, I want growth or I want multiplication. Increase is both. Increase is God in his voice. Imagine he says upon your life, increase. Like he can even whisper it. He doesn't have to be loud. He just said, increase. It's like, let there be light. How are you going to stop that? Increase. We're like, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going. Increase all that I am and all that I want to do in your life. There's a sovereign move of God happening across the West right now, and we haven't yet felt the fullness of the wave. And I'm telling you, even this week, hearing from our brothers and sisters around America, they'll tell you, churches that were 100, churches that were 50, churches that were 60 are now in their hundreds and thousands because people are coming towards God, not because they've been great, faithful churches, but because he's faithful to his church, because they are being faithful with what he's bringing. And it's like a wave, and it's like God said, and this tidal wave came of the reality of his truth into no man's land and lifted them out of the places they were in, the darkness, the shadows, the things that they were no longer wanting to hold on to. And God said, I will be your option. And the church The people of God is the one that receives that. So we need to increase our hearts ready for what God's doing. But he's going to do that in us. What is increase? It's for us to embrace the transformation and growth, seeking God's divine direction for our life. There's so many people who've got plans and directions for your life, even you. And yet what we do on a Vision Sunday is we don't go to a place of saying, well, Ben's got a plan for my life. No, no, no. Or Cosine's got a plan for my life. Or I've got a plan for my life. We say, God, you've got the plan. Can I dare align with your vision? Is it too great and wondrous for me? The biblical word for increase, said in an Australian accent in a really bad way in a Greek form, is Ozano. Imagine that. God just says, Ozano, over your life. And you're like, what does that mean? It means to grow, to increase, to enlarge, and it refers to the growth that is of that which is alive, naturally or spiritually. Really interesting, and I was taken back to the verse. I'm like, okay, God, where do you want to talk to us from Scripture about this? Where do you want to land this in? And I remembered, what instruction did he give to the people of God in the Old Testament through Isaiah? It said in Isaiah 51:2, it says, look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah who bore you, for he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply. So today we're going to look at Isaiah 54, where the Israelite community were told to ask to look, where in Galatians, Paul says to the new churches that are being established, hey, look back to what God said over Abraham, and you'll understand what God means by increase. You understand what he says to you. And in Isaiah 54, at the risk of many of you who've read it, I want to just warn you that there's probably more in this than I can ever open up. And there's probably more that you've heard before if you've heard this verse, about this verse, but I want you to hear today the power of increase and what God is saying. Also, I want to tell you how to read my slides. Just read the big words. They will be on the line afterwards. You can look at them then. The understanding of increase is incredibly important. That as we come to this moment, we say, God, spiritual increase is going to mean continual growth in my life. It's going to mean imminent reality of maturity that you bring. I can't bring it. Knowledge and obedience to God's word. I might have to act on this after the service immediately. I might act on it for the rest of my days. And a greater manifestation of the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who's going to bring it. And it involves a life of transformation, holiness, and effectiveness in God's kingdom. So just as a disclaimer, that's what you're signing up for. I've already said the word though, so you've already heard it, so it's already happening. If I say this, it'll only go as far as a natural person can say it. But when the Spirit of God says it, it goes further than you can imagine. So we're going to go where Isaiah directed us, to look at the remembrance of Abraham and his life. Now let's remember Abraham. How old was he when he had the promised child from God? How old? 100. 100 years old. Sarah, his wife, was in her 90s. Anybody? Yeah. Some of us are just about there. And God has said earlier in his life, I will increase you. I will bring it through your line and it will go to the ends of the earth and the ends of the age. He hasn't had a son, or then he does it himself. He does it in his own flesh and has it with his servant girl. And the reality is that delivers an Ishmael. But what we're talking about is the delivery of Isaac. And when Abraham responded to God and listened to that and heard that, there's some things that happened. But listen to what was said in Isaiah 54 over this situation. It says in verse 1, sing, O barren one, who did not bear, break forth in singing, cry aloud. You have not been in labor. You have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. God was declaring something absolutely offensive here. You are to sing like you've already received. You are to praise. You are to call to me, the God who knows things, who does things, like it's already happened. Sarah was barren for not over 90 years. That's a set mindset if you've ever got one. That is incredible, isn't it? And you know, and we might say, what can God do in Australia? What can God do with my family? What can God do in my life? It's been like barrenness. It's been like desolation. It's like nothing ever happens. And he comes and he says, now I have declared it. Sing because you've heard it. Not because it's happened, because you've heard it. And as we hear that word increase, it's like, I haven't seen that in my life yet. Sing like it has been heard. There's something that happens in us. We expect joy. We start expecting joy. There's increased joy. Immediately, God says, oh, it's God who's saying it. It's not someone to do it. It's not me trying to do it. It's him doing it. I'm going to prepare myself for what he's doing. There's a personal call. And guess who it's from? Us to God. God, would you do this? God, you've spoken. God, I've heard. Wow, I'm going to make worship to you. I'm going to stop worshiping all the things that you've made and all the people you've made. And I'm going to worship you. They're a reflection of you. I worship when I see creation, I want to worship you. When I see the creations you've made, I want to worship you. I don't worship them. Imagine Sarah, she might have been saying to Abraham, when are we going to have kids? Must be your fault. It always comes through your family line. What's going on there? There starts to be a comparison, a looking, a flesh reality. That's not what God is doing. He goes on to say, so get ready. Enlarge the place of your tent. Show me that you've heard. Tell me that you are getting ready. I guess I've heard that in private and I'll change it when it comes. No. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Let your cords and strengthen your stakes. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Get ready. This is going to get more increase. There is a promised global expansion in this moment for Abraham and Sarah. They know ends of the earth stuff. Strain on the old comfort structure has come. If any of you have ever had families that are growing in a house that's too small, all right, the reality is it gets a little uncomfortable. Okay? Gets a little bit closed in. There's multiplication in rooms. There's reality of I don't have enough space. There's a little bit of claustrophobia, a little bit of, you know, itchy, scratchy, not happy stuff that goes on, a bit of frustration. Make room. Get ready for what's coming. Tell me you've heard it. Act on it. All right, got to keep moving. Verse 3 goes on to say, for you will spread abroad to the right and left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. This is what I really heard God hone in on. I think we've heard some of the moments and we've seen maybe in our lives, oh yeah, I sung and I heard God and then I saw him. I got ready for what he was delivering. But then it's like God actually gets the glory on what he wants to do. I'll actually go into every desolate place between you and the ends of the earth. That's God's plan. What are you comfortable with this morning? God, if you just got to my household, I'll be happy. God, if you just saved that nation, you know, because they're causing the earth a lot of trouble and that would bring peace, that would be great. What about if it's God's to do? I will spread out to the red. He's saying, I'm going to spread abroad to the left and right. Spread. And your offspring will possess the nations. I was thinking about these guys being here this morning, the young'uns. Some of you were like 2 or 3 probably when we moved into this building. That's a scary thing for me because I'm still young. I was young then. But you're probably 2 or 3 when you meet. And I'm thinking about these guys and I'm thinking, these guys are going to possess the nations because of our response now. These guys are going to be the ones who, Generation Alpha, they're the ones who are going to break through into all the spaces and all the places that are desolate right now that are to be God's. And for his glory and for his increasing joy and peace and Holy Spirit. Wow. I get a part of making sure there's space that these guys can move into. A spaciousness in our hearts, a spaciousness in our mind, a spaciousness in what he's going to do. But because Abraham and Sarah were quite old, they'd seen a bit. So Paul says this, Paul, God says this to them, fear not, in verse 4, for you will not be ashamed. Shame gets more problematic as you get older. Oh, I should know my age. I shouldn't be stepping out on stuff. I shouldn't be making radical decisions, you know. I'm supposed to be older and wiser and boringer. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth. Those moments that you used to think were awesome and then you realize they were shameful. And reproach of your widowhood, you will remember no more. You will remember no more. Some of us are held back by the memories of things that we've done and said and held against God and against others. And you know what? God says, I will help you to remember them no more. Wow. So that you are not hindered in who you are and where you can go, so that you can engage love fully and engage them with love fully. Where you're held back, you hold back. Where I'm held back, I hold back. God does not hold us back. He says, spread out to the right and left. So anyway, just a little story about Abraham and Sarah that might reflect on you. Because they are those who grabbed hold of the promise. They took hold of what God had said, and they believed it, they prepared for it, and they're ready. D.A. Carson says, true strength of God's kingdom is not the promise of immunity from attack, but the unanswerable weapon of truth. It's not a protective measure. We're not coming to churches to get immunity. It's not Survivor. Okay? We're overcomers. We go at the enemy knowing that we have the unanswerable weapon of truth. You bring lies, I'm bringing truth. If you want to take no man's land, bring truth. The unanswerable truth. That's what we need to know the word. I'm not unhappy, I'm just very passionate. There is a increase that God is speaking over us, and he's saying, I want you to grow. I want to grow this in you, and I also want to multiply it from you. Got that? That's what increase does. But in the meantime, expect with joy. Extend peace that you have found by the Spirit of God. You know, be in a place where you have an expanding hope because you have the gospel. You have this truth. You have this weapon. And engage love as his mission. Now, that could be the end of the message, and if that is for you and you sleep now, that's fine. But if you want a little bit more detail, and I think you might want to know what you're getting yourself into, what is it to grow? When God's doing the work in you, what is it to grow? God wants to grow, pour in his life. It says in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's spaciousness. That's how we open our hearts. That's how we stretch our tent pegs, deepen our tent pegs and stretch our curtains wide. That's how we open our hearts, is by the Spirit. There is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image of one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. When Paul refers to the same scriptures we've just read, Isaiah 54 in Galatians, he's saying to them, this was a spirit thing, not a flesh thing. Abraham's flesh was nearly dead. He was 100. I mean, seriously, some of you guys have probably had to wait. You know, you believed you could deliver the promise. You believed you could deliver the promise. You believed you could deliver the promise. And now you're almost dead in that thing. God's like, now can I have a go? He does spirit. We do flesh. God wants the Spirit to bring freedom to his church, freedom to his people, transform them and reflect them. And so what he does is he helps us grow in his knowledge, deeper in his knowledge. You guys going to head out? Cool. See, that the message is over for these guys. They're going to go and work on that. Yes. And Kerry's going to leave me with the adults because we need some more work. It's like Jetstar, no baggage. Maybe we're a little like Qantas. What is God growing in us? He wants to increase freedom through transformation of the Spirit. He makes space in us by his Spirit. It's like the wind of the Spirit blows through us and it makes space where we didn't think we had space. How many of you said, you know, I haven't got any more space left in my life. I can't possibly do another thing. There's no increase left in me, God. I can't birth anything more. I am carrying the weight of the world. God's like, give me 10 minutes. By the power of the Spirit. Let me clear your desk, your calendar, your future. Start with me. He doesn't take away good things. He just reorders them, reprioritizes them, and resets them. We've had three amens. This is like amazing. In Australia, that's like 300. You got the multiplier effect. So when we talk about what God's going to grow on us, it's really saying, God, what's this going to mean for me? What's this going to come? What's coming to me? What's going to be happening in me and through me? Knowledge will be deepening because we have a knowledge of the world we grew up in. We have a knowledge of the culture that we live in. And if that knowledge is greater than the knowledge of God, then there is a problem. We need the knowledge of God growing as we go deeper and into what he's done, how he's done it in us. You receive the full gospel when you respond to Jesus. But man, when you dig into what does this mean for me, you stand against the culture and the waves and the winds of the world. And our faith gets wider. We start stretching out. We start engaging the things that God intended us to. We start trusting God more than ourselves and others. And ourselves and others get blessed. Amen? There's a growing up that happens. There's a trusting that happens. There's a deepening in our understanding. You can read that slide another time. Another thing that happens is we start communicating with God. And like any other relationship, as we pray to him, there's a reciprocation. There's a stirring. You know, if someone says, you are going to imminently increase and birth stuff through your life, and it's going to be of a spirit nature, you know, it's like, okay, well, tell me when it happens. No. You're going to be starting to talk through that. You're going to be walking through that. God, what are you showing me? What are you stirring in me? What is it you're doing through me? And that's what we call prayer. Both individually and corporately, we come to God and we say, God, what are you wanting to bring through here? But we must seek him first. What does the word say? When I heard the word increase, I didn't go and look up a heap of YouTube clips or the favorite preacher or the favorite commentator. I went to God and said, what do you always say to your people? What has been happening for a few thousand years now? What has not been changed? And I went here and said, and he said, go and look at Abraham. Go and look what I said to Abraham. Oh, Ben, that's a bit boring. Isn't that new? What's next? If you are always looking for next, you may miss what's now. Look for what God is saying. There's a reality that God wants to walk us through things. Fellowship matters, friends. I'm talking about some basic stuff here, aren't I, really? The knowledge of God growing in us, deepening us so we can stand against the waves of the world. The reality of coming to his word, hearing the truth first from him and then seeing how it reflects on everything else. The reality of trusting him, the reality of wanting to trust him, seeing the wideness, seeking him first, allowing the Spirit to have your life, your hands, your diaries, your calendars, your finances, whatever it is that he's given you. Because fellowship matters. Coming together and actually hearing, hey, how's this affecting you? What's God doing in you? Wow, that stirs me. I don't have to be like what God's doing in you, but it stirs me to know that I can be who God's called me to be in this space. We are not talking about uniformity here. We are talking about unity and the absolute creative diversity of God. That's what is stunning about the church, that we do have all of those different looking family members and one God calls us, aligns us, and releases us. There is fruit of growth. God will bring fruit through your life. You are God's creation. You will bring through God's character if you spend time with him. You will be God's community and his reflection on the earth in that place. You know, this is a really encouraging little verse from Psalms, which says, the righteous flourish, this is in Psalm 92, like the palm tree and grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Palm trees are really fruitful and cedars in Lebanon are really strong. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of the Lord. In community, in the house of the Lord, flourish in the courts of the Lord, the place where they reside. They still bear fruit in old age, and they are ever full of sap and green to declare the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, for us who are feeling over 40 and feeling a little older, that's really good news. You're not done. I talk to the younger generation, but you will continue to bear fruit if you are a fruitful person, like the palm, and a strong person like the oak in Christ. So we're holding these things in tension. God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to know that you are going to breathe into your creation, your character, and create your community that you've always promised. There is something powerful about that, isn't it? Do you hear that this morning? That's what he's breathing in you when he says increase. I'm going to grow this in you. I'm going to grow this through you. It's unstoppable, it's unavoidable, and it's unwavering. We have to accept it or reject it. So how does this happen in our lives in a real sense? Prayer and reflection. We come to him. We communicate with him. We're like, God, what are you showing? What are you saying? God, you're so good. I'm thankful towards you. I praise you for what you've done. And I'm reflecting on what's going to happen. But also meditate on this, on the word. I say, God, show me what you've shown everyone else who has known you in this way. And release more upon that. Let me know how you think about me and how you think about others, how you think, how you are. And then proclaim it. You don't know how good God is. You know, if you want people to stop talking about, oh, you know, what the church has done and what the... Talk about what Jesus has done. Talk about what Jesus has done in your life. Well, he showed me this and he's revealed this. And he's releasing this. It's personal. It's real. And it's affecting our fellowship. The community of fellowship is critical to growth. We need people who will tell us the truth. Amen? You know when someone's just giving you a line. You know, if I said, Dave, your beard looks awesome today, people are like, what? They'd be like, that guy's full of it, you know? I don't trust a word he says from now on. I want to tell him and say, Dave, you know what? I love that you're growing a beard, but awesomeness comes with work, you know? I'm only kidding. We're closer, we're friends, we're engaging. You're all laughing because you wanted to say it. I know that. And Dave's very secure too, particularly in beardism. There is an increase in us that needs to come so that we are capable of saying, hey, my life is emanating, my prayer life. My life is emanating from the scripture, the meditation I've done, the things that I'm taking. It's not like, how'd you go this week? You know what? I was in the word and I saw this. Not this guy did this to me and that happened and whatever, and the weather's doing this. No, no, well, this is what's happening. This is the barometer of my life. And now I want to tell you, because you're my fellowship, you're my family, you're my friends. Ever increasing. Isn't this good news? It's ever increasing. Everything in God is ever increasing. It's not diminishing. Anything we do in this world that's bound in flesh, it's like it's awesome for a moment and then it's gone. Hey, I'm a Crow supporter, but that was last week. We got 10 minutes to celebrate and then... pain for the rest of the week. Back to normal. Growth in faith is transformative. And we embrace spiritual increase. We become more equipped to serve others. We deepen our relationship with God. Each step is a testament to his grace and purpose no matter what we're going through. Fruitfulness will come, but growth is in faith. So then we multiply. So the second word that comes out of this Sunday is to increase, is to grow, and to multiply. Multiply is awesome because it means we are going to reflect him. We're going to reflect who he is. I'm not the instigator or the origin or the initiator. I am the respondent to what God is doing and he's always been doing. And I can capture, man, the light of the gospel that's been coming through down through thousands of years. I get to be a reflector of that through an imperfect vessel with perfect truth coming through it. That God would reflect his glory in his freedom. We've heard about that, haven't we? The spirit of freedom. But he would also flourish what he's doing. Blessings that we can't create. We can't conjure. He delivers it in our lives. And there's a beauty where everybody stands back and says, wow, that is God. I've seen this at Christian weddings, you know, like people have been to a lot of weddings or they haven't been to weddings or whatever. And you have a moment where people come to a wedding ceremony and the vows are given and everybody sort of stands back and looks upon it. And it's these people who believe in God. They believe God's joining them together. They believe the words they're saying because God's going to actually come and unify them. They're not just saying crazy promises to one another, but God's going to make it possible. And as they're standing there, I get the view a lot of times and I'm watching people who do not know God go, what is this? I have not seen this. And as I said in Scripture, it's meant to be a picture of Christ and his church. So the reality is they're seeing the glory of God in the ordinary moments of life. And that's not ordinary, they're extraordinary. But there's ordinary moments where you are reflecting God in a tea room, in a kids' pickup zone, in an engagement that God is wanting you to be in, where God wants to shine his glory through you. This is not a normal person. They have seen the glory of God. They have been with Jesus. Their prayer and reflections increase. Their scriptural meditation is clear. There is a covenant increase in their life. There's so many things where I started to look up the word increase in the scripture. It's everywhere. It's like the yellow car. I can't stop seeing it in scripture now. For 3 weeks, I've had to try. I said to the eldership, let's not use this word, but I'm trying not to use this word, but I can feel it's coming everywhere. Increase in provision, increase in righteousness and rejoicing, increase in thanksgiving, increase in the flock, increase in planting, establishing growth, increase in the great command that God's given, increase in obedience. It's everywhere. Increase, increase, increase. But it feels like today we're coming to God going, I've got a couple of loaves and 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is all I've got. What would you do with this? And there's 5,000 to be fed. That's not going to take a natural, you know, administrational process, friends. How can we divvy this up? How are we going to cut this in 5,000 ways? It's actually going to take a supernatural process. And what takes place is as we bring him that, he says, let me take that. And Jesus puts it to the Father. And he says, here we have an imminent multiplier who's given us everything. And he says, I will do it. Imagine that picture. Can you take that picture of Jesus taking the loaves and the fish to the Father that you have today and saying, I'll take that growing Christian and I'll do the multiplication effect. What would he do? What would he do beyond your life that you see and you don't see? Reflectors of glory, flourishing, fruitful in a spiritual sense. How do we walk this out? We have a relationship with him. We have a relationship with one another. We have a service. We pictured Oscar before, like serving the community in a public effect in this room, but we serve one another from the heart of God. And when we do that, when we bring our loaves and fish, when we say, you know, we walk past the Jerusalem gate like John and Peter did, and the guy's like, I need money. And they're like, we don't have much, but we have this gospel. Boom. He walks. Supernatural, right? It's a little bit different. They could have walked past and tried to scratch around for coins, done the wallet pat. Sorry, mate, we don't have anything. It's super fun when you're walking through the center of Adelaide. Just try it. If you're a fully believing Christian and people ask you for money, just turn to them and I, you know, if I don't have anything, I just say, well, I've got something. Can I pray for you? Let multiplication effect begin. Most people say yes. So you need 10 or 15 minutes. It might cost you time, not money. But it could change and transform their life because they run into a reflector of the glory of God and he gets to multiply. Amen? Money will have some effect. I get that. If that's what God tells you to do. But the reality is the effect is spiritual and it's kingdom. And it's a reality. What are we as a church? Let's look at these pictures. We've settled them over the years. Your life is like a lighthouse to others, to some people, where they're like, I just can breathe. They've been with Jesus, and when I'm with them, I feel like I've got relief. That's what this place, in a corporate sense, should be, and an individual sense. There's a gospel refuge here. As you're working your life out, as you're coming into the relief of what it means to be with the people of Jesus and with Jesus for yourself, the reality is you get a chance for God to actually work through your life, restore your life, ready you for the future. And gospel restoration is imminent. There's a storehouse of what God wants to do. And of course, we're not talking about grain. We're talking about lives, people's lives. The multiplier effect of people coming in. Remember that wave I was talking about of people coming? We're just trying to prepare, be ready, responsive. God, when people come in, it's not, hey, I invited that person, so I'm going to be responsible for them. God invited people. You're responsible for them. There's people who've come in the last season. Thank you. Welcome. So good to have you with us on whatever part you're in, whether you're just receiving the relief of Jesus, of being in a place that can bring that, or whether you're in the gospel refuge stage of God starting to work in your life, or whether you're a gospel restored Christian and you're like, I am the picture of the storehouse of God. I am someone reflecting his glory. I've been fruitful. I want to be fruitful again. Whichever one you are, God is using you to reflect his goodness and his kindness. We are living fruitfully. Don't worry about the little words. We're going to move on. Where is your mission field? What does God want to do this in? We heard in our sort of family chat in the middle of the year, even around our finance meeting, that God is saying, I want to be a part of your heart, bring this gospel relief. I want to be part of your what your hands do and what your home is ready for. And in the next season, while you prepare for increase, every farmer right now is clicking over to September in their mind, going, I need to get ready for harvest in our region here of South Australia. They're about to go, what do I need to get ready to harvest? I really sense God is saying, you may have a year. I'm negotiating with him. I don't think it's going to work. But you may have a year. By this time next year, when we come into this room, I believe it'll be a different room in a different place where he's multiplied all sorts of things. Whatever you can think of, and he is doing, and he puts his word increase to, yes. People, leaders, lighthouse groups, regional groups, whatever it is, yes. See, when you start looking at it, and it's like, what? How is he going to do that? By some people bringing him their loaves and fish and saying, God, what would you do with this? Amen? So what's our takeaways today? Embrace the spiritual truth that God's bringing today. Prepare for increase. Extend with Scripture our growth. Enlarge through prayer and our community. It's prayer and our community that comes and enlarges our hearts for what God's doing. And engage by living out your faith daily. That'll mean overcoming obstacles, which will make you more convinced of what God does. That will mean trusting the promise that's being put out today in the moments where you don't feel like it. It'll mean that we're committing to increase. And you can look at these slides later, so don't worry about all the detail. You can commit. There can be cultivation of God in your life that you might contribute to the kingdom advancement that he is bringing. There is so much about this. Even why I put these slides together was there's so much about what God is wanting to do just to prepare us. And we're just talking about increase, growth, and multiplication. We're not even talking harvest yet, guys. Because harvest is a whole nother section, and I can't do that today. And we're not quite there, but we will need to be. Increase prepares us for harvest, to be all hands on deck. Because even in harvest, people work all night to get that off. We need to grow in our strength. So how do we increase? In our own lives. So, see the establishment of God, just as he's done with this faithful community over the years from 2017-18 to now. He's done it. You've got a picture, a natural picture of people and buildings and those sort of things. Now, would you trust what God is going to do in the future? Because he didn't just want to stop here. And he wants to multiply us. So we're going to start here today in really basic things, in really powerful, only Christians get to do this. Like, how cool is that? We actually get to pray. We get to understand his word. We don't read these words like harsh words on a page that don't mean anything to us. We are inspired by the Holy Spirit and they come off the page and they live in us and they're like, that's what I already have in me and that's what's removing. That helps me understand what God is doing. But as we get into his word, both Rhema and Lagos, then we understand his spirit is moving upon us for his mission. What will that mean? Back to this Isaiah 44 passage. Expect, have joy, be ready, hear, respond. Extend our lives to involve the most central reality. God's word will lead me. Nothing else. Allow the Spirit to come. If you are going to enlarge, don't trust yourself to do it. You'll come up short. If I say, and Trina and I have a negotiation, how much are we happy to enlarge? It'll come up short of what the Holy Spirit will do on us and through us. So we just turn it over to him. Spirit of God, will you do this? And mission. I would also probably control what I would engage around what I would like. God's like, are you available? Have you seen the King? Have you seen his glory? Are you available for everything, every person, every engagement that I'm readying you for? And it's no surprise that the first three lead us to be ready. They lead us to be ready. So as we go today, after the service, as this little booklet, it's not a thing that's required or compulsory, but it's an invitation. It's got some relatively blank pages in there where you can write what God is saying to you on each of those things. God, when I pray, what am I hearing? There's little words, just little, you know, things to prompt you. But if you would ask God, what does he want to do in you, through you and beyond you, for his glory? In each area that's in this booklet, if you would ask him and write down, as you inquire, as you're inspired by the Spirit, as you involve God, and as you invite opportunity, if you would write down, what is God wanting to grow in my life and through the church? Make it both. What is God wanting to actually multiply? What is he wanting to actually have me believe and increase? What might be he actually speaking to me about? I don't want to make out on this person who's like, oh, God can do whatever he wants, and he doesn't speak specifically. He speaks specifically to his church. But, and you don't have to, like, there's no compulsion here, but if you're a member of this congregation and you believe in what I'm speaking about this morning, you might want to grab hold of that and prepare for harvest. And say, God, what are you saying to me in this season? And carry it with you. Carry it in your Bible, with your Bible. Carry it to any meeting. Carry it to the prayer meeting in 7 days' time. You know, we generally have some really faithful people and powerful prayer meetings, and the Holy Spirit moves on a Sunday night. But if you believe this, one of your responses might be to get there. Be there, if you can. To be in a place of saying, I'm here to prepare for what God's going to do, to increase in all of these areas. Fill it out. It won't take that long. Fill it out. Have it ready so that someone else can read it. Because sometimes we can write really personal things and then I don't want to show anybody. So write it so it's ready. Amen? So just think, Ben might ask me to stand out the front and share this. I'm going to write this in a certain way. And if it's about you, we'll find out. If it's about God, we'll find out. But either way, write it in a way that means, God, I've sat before you. I've held this before you. I'm actually being acquainted with you and what you're going to do in my life for the next season. And as we pray together here, then we've got an advanced prayer time, which is global. So there's the stretch, right? We've got the two big ends in our hearts and to the ends of the earth. As the team comes up this morning, I want to be clear that the response starts today. By no means am I expecting that it's going to complete today. It's going to continue and continue and continue in our lives because it's ever increasing. There's a responsiveness that will come upon us and a readiness that will be in us that will continue. So today, as we start this journey, wherever you are at, wherever you have come from, you can be a part of what God is doing. We are his humble servants. We stand before him. We say, God, as we inquire of you, inspire our hearts by your Spirit, and we invite you to come and multiply and increase. We bring you our two loaves and our five fishes. We say, God, what would you do with this?